All right, welcome back in. Went a little long there, but John Morant being a Blazer was shocking to everybody's system here. So I thought, you know what? We're stunned. It's probably sad over in Memphis because there was a window there where they were kind of the talk of the league as the up-and-coming young fun Grizzlies.
He was the guy, man.
So I reached out to our great friend, Gary Pear, CBS Sports, longtime radio host over in Memphis, Grind City Media, on Twitter, at Gary Pear, CBS. Gary, good morning. Thanks for hopping on, man. We always appreciate we can get you. Just how do you sum up the Ja Morant era coming to a close yesterday for everybody in Memphis?
Well, I think you stated it properly. It's sad. It's a sad day here. I think it's a day that the city, the fan base, is well prepared for. We've known that this day was coming for a while. Not necessarily that he would be shipped to Portland, but that they were pretty intent on moving him out of here. And so you're exactly right. There was a time where the Ja Morant Grizzlies were the talk of the league. People rarely remember this. But it was back-to-back years when ESPN had future NBA power rankings. In other words, over the next 5 years, what franchises are set up best to flourish in this league? And in back-to-back years, it was not the Oklahoma City, it was not the San Antonio Spurs, the New York Knicks. It was the Memphis Grizzlies, in part, or at least, primarily because of a core of Ja Morant, Jaren Jackson Jr., and Desmond Bain, all of whom were 23 or younger. And they won a playoff series in 2022. And that's when everything looked like everything you could imagine was in front of them, and they never won another playoff series again. Desmond Bane was moved, Jaren was moved, and yesterday was the culmination of a total reset with the franchise. And I understand it. I think most Grizzlies fans do, but I would be lying to you if I told you everybody here was happy today. They're not. It's mostly sad.
Yeah, that's a pretty reasonable response, too, because of how much he meant and the hope that you had for the future. We've had eras like that in Portland where you see a trio of players and you think, man, this trio is going to do special things. Brandon Roy, LaMarcus Aldridge, Greg Oden, and it doesn't quite work out that way, and you have to reassess. How should Portland feel about the player they're getting on the floor and the player they're getting off the floor?
Hopeful. I mean, I think that's all you can do with a 26-year-old who's clearly had his ups and downs. Don't ever get it twisted. There is a reason why the franchise that once tried to make him the face and centerpiece of everything ultimately decided we can't do this anymore. It's time to move on. So if you're trying to figure out why you were able to get a two-time All-Star still, below the age of 27 for such a small price, it's because his reputation has been damaged, mostly his own fault. And so, he's an incredible player when he plays and when he's focused, but he rarely plays, at least in recent years. And even when he does play, he has not always been the most focused. Only 79 games over the past three regular seasons. I heard that in your update. That's a thing I think every Grizzlies fan has memorized. but I understand that, there is – I don't rule out him catching stardom again, but – the injuries, there's some data points that suggest it's taken a toll. And obviously the off-the-court stuff has been problematic, perhaps overblown. In some cases, I am, at least understanding to the idea from some Grizzlies fans when they say, this is a league that has men who have, undeniably beat up women and have faced lesser, punishments than Ja Morant has faced for, you ready for this, never actually being charged with a crime. Mm-hmm. But he did do a lot of things that put himself and the franchise in some not-so-great situations. He had an incident with a high school basketball player that got a lot of attention, an alleged incident with a mall employee. His best friend, literally his best friend, was banned from FedEx Forum for a year because of an incident after a game with the Indiana Pacers. Like, do you know what it must take for a small market franchise to suspend the best friend of the franchise player? Right. So this is what's been going on here now. And so I can't speak for everybody, but here's what I hope. This is a guy who is still to this day, you ask both of my young sons who their favorite basketball player in the world is, and it's going to start with Ja Morant. They understand everything that's happened. Wow. Their dad works in the same building. They understand the story, but he is still their favorite player. And what they're hoping, and I think everybody's hoping, is that this can be a nice reset for him too, and that he learns from whatever mistakes he might have made, and that Portland gets the absolute best version of him, because the best version of him is like man, it's a lot of fun. I don't think there's really many things or possibly anything like it in the NBA.
Gary Parrish, our guest here, CBS Sports, also the host of the Gary Parrish Show on Grind City Media on Twitter, at Gary Parrish CBS. Joining us, John Morant is a Blazer. I do want to ask you basketball stuff, but I do want to ask a follow-up to what you just said there. The off-the-court stuff is obviously part of the storyline, right? When you come out here, we once had a team that was very talked about years and years ago, and so people don't want Ja bringing it over. Do you have any intel or indication that maybe the people around him, his circle has changed, or that there's, you said hopeful is how you would kind of summarize it. Are there indications that make you feel that maybe just immaturity or not handling the spotlight the right way, whatever it was in Memphis, that is starting to show a glimmer of change for fans out here expecting and hoping for the best from Ja Morant?
I could lie to you, but I don't think we've seen anything. Behind the scenes is behind the scenes stuff, but I think if there was any reasonable chance of seeing it up close and hoping that there's been signs of change, perhaps yesterday never happened. Listen, I don't think he's a bad guy, and I do believe he's got a good heart. I often compare him to not a basketball player, but like a childhood star. A movie star. Like, think about this for a second, because I think this would be hard for most of us to deal with. And it's not an excuse for the things that have happened, but perhaps it's an explanation. But the Grizzlies just drafted Cameron Boozer with the 3rd overall pick. Cameron Boozer has been a well-known basketball player since he's been dribbling a basketball, in part because his dad was a, you know, multi-time all-star, in part because he's just been awesome his entire life. Everything that Cameron Boozer has done on a basketball court, he was supposed to do. Go to a place like Duke, be a national high school player of the year, be a top 5 pick. All of this stuff is stuff Cameron Boozer has been prepared for a while. Ja Morant was never supposed to have the life that he's having. He was never recruited out of high school by any notable program, ended up at Murray State, and in his freshman year, he was the 3rd leading scorer on an OVC team. If you go to KenPom.com, which is a pretty reputable and well-referenced college basketball website, and go to Ja Morant's freshman season at Murray State, he's actually listed, I believe, as Demetrius. He wasn't even Ja Morant until really his sophomore year at Murray State, and then he blew up. And so in a span of like a couple of years, he went from no-name Demetrius Morant at a 3rd leading scorer at an OVC school to the rookie of the year, a face of a franchise with a Nike deal, signature shoe, and lots of money thrown on top of him. This is a tight-knit family from small-town South Carolina. Simply put, I don't think any of them were equipped to deal with the things that they were asked to deal with any more than me and my family would have been at the exact same age. Right. So there's been some missteps. I think they could all acknowledge that. The question is whether they've learned from those missteps. And I use the word they intentionally. Like, I think it's a family thing. Like, the people around Ja Morant need to look and try to understand better how they ended up in this situation and then figure out the best way to dig out of it. I hope that they have, but to circle back to the initial question, has there been signs of that? No, I don't think there's really been any signs of that. I even said in recent weeks, I wish just one time I could have heard Ja Morant, you know, just say something along the lines of, I really did mess this thing up. My best friends got traded out of here because I couldn't stay available and I couldn't keep it between the lines. And that sort of awareness and, resolution and apology, if that's even necessary. I hope that there've been real changes behind the scenes, but if they've happened, they've mostly been behind the scenes. They haven't been visible to the public.
Yeah, but we're against it, Gary, but I'm just curious to ask you. I know that the Taylor Jenkins stuff, I'm just curious to find more out about. There was comments that obviously didn't end well. He was considered a young and upcoming coach. Now he's a head coach in Milwaukee. We're going through an offseason where we have a first-time head coach in Mike Anori. He's certainly been around the NBA a long time, but obviously different when you move over those 18 inches and now you're the head guy in charge of just how those vibes might work out and what was the backstory between Ja Morant and Taylor Jenkins, and is there concern there that there's a problem with coach and player maybe lingering on his new stop?
Oh, sure. I mean, like, you know, he didn't get along with Taylor Jenkins at the end. I don't know that the franchise will ever say this directly, but if you're wondering why a really successful head coach in Taylor Jenkins was fired at the end of a season, in part, it was at least in part because he and Ja Morant were not seeing eye to eye anymore. So then they replace that coach with a heavy pick and roll coach. The idea being behind, let's get back to centerpiece Ja Morant and John Tomasisalo did not get along that well either. And so, the thing you hear more than anything else is that, he's not a bad guy or bad heart, but he can be a little moody. And I say that as somebody myself who can be a little moody. But I also know when I am moody on a day-to-day basis, that can be very difficult for my wife, for my children, for coworkers, and you've got to try to figure that stuff out. And so I think that would be the biggest challenge for the Portland coaching staff, based on the things that I've heard from various coaching staffs in Memphis over the years. Like, what are you getting on a day-to-day basis? Because the best version of Ja Morant is like a version everybody gravitates to and everybody loves and everybody wants to run behind. But you might get that on a Wednesday, and on Thursday, it's just not there for reasons that aren't clear to everybody else. And, those are things that I think a lot of people deal with. I've heard similar stories about a young Kyrie Irving where he was one person one day and that not quite the same person the next. And so these are all things that he's got to work through. And speaking on behalf of Grizzlies fans, I hope that he does.
Yeah, Gary, thank you for the time. I just have one more for you because I know you got to go and we're up against it too. One basketball question for you. It may seem like an odd fit, I think, when you look at the Portland roster right now as it sits. We are trying to convince ourselves they're going to make another move because they still have assets, but we don't know. They may also just run four guards and see what it's like with Dame, Ja, Drew, and Scoot. Just your thoughts on the fit of a Ja Morant, a Denny Avdia, a Dame Lillard on the same team.
Yeah, I mean, listen, you guys know that roster better than I, but based on my limited awareness of Portland, I mean, Denny needs the ball in his hand. Dame has played with the ball in his hands. Ja plays with the ball in his hand. Unless they've changed basketball, there's only one ball on the court at all times. And so smarter people than me are going to have to figure that out. I've read all the analysis of the breakdown and questions about how this fits with Portland's roster. I think it's important sometimes to remember a front office often, you hope at least, is thinking three moves ahead. So last week, I'll just end with this. The Grizzlies did some stuff in the first round of the draft that on the surface did not make sense to me as a Grizzlies fan and technically employee. And I said that the next morning. And the next night, they went and did a deal for Isaiah Stewart that if you trace it back to the night before, it was clear they were just setting up that thing. So if I were talking to Blazers fans right now, I would say before you react strongly in any direction, like, let's see where this thing goes. Free agency starts later on today, because there are some people smarter than I talking about the NBA, writing about the NBA, who thinks that Portland seems to be setting themselves up for something else to come.
Yeah, good stuff. Gary Parrish, our great friend in Memphis, does an exceptional job, a longtime legend over there on CBS and Grind City Media. Gary Parrish Show on Twitter at Gary Parrish CBS. Thank you so much for the time, Gary. Always appreciate catching up with you and the latest on Ja Morant.
It's my pleasure. I appreciate you having me.
Absolutely. There we go. Great stuff. Gary Parrish, one of our favorites over in Memphis. What do we make of what he said about Ja Morant, the off-the-court stuff, the fit? We'll dive back into it with some follow-up thoughts from Gary Parrish next on 105.1 The Fan.